Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our romp through Romans. Unfair? The potter and the clay, submitting to God's righteousness. Message of salvation for all, and faith comes from hearing. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
I believe that it's going to be Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit that will finally heal this racial divide in our lives, in our city, and in the world.
Religion has always offered a check on state power. That's why totalitarian movements have always hated churches, because they can't control their messages.
What God the Holy Spirit gave on the day of Pentecost is not somebody to be able to say, should have bought a Hyundai, could have bought a Kia. You know, that's not tongues. That's a string of nonsensical syllable salad.
Dying man's consolation is nothing in himself, but everything in Jesus. Jesus has won the victory over death. Jesus forgives sins.
Homeschooling moms listen to Issues Etc. while doing the laundry.
Well, I'm no legal expert. Far from it, but I think even I can tell that the Supreme Court ruling today is going to be a big one, a consequential one, and probably a really, really bad one in a list of what has proven to be a lot of bad Supreme Court decisions. People had hoped better with two Trump administration appointees to the Supreme Court, and they got kind of a 50-50 today. Gorsuch went the wrong way. Kavanaugh went the right way. We'll be talking about that Supreme Court ruling on the 1964 Civil Rights Act and LGBTQ discrimination with Carrie Severino, Judicial Crisis Network president and co-author of the book Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation for the Future of the Court. We'll be talking with her in a little bit here on the second hour of Issues Etc. In the meantime, we're going to go through a listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We are coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us with questions or comments. We'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The email talkback at issuesetc.org. The comment line, 618-223-8382. You can also give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, or send us a tweet at issuesetc.
Stephen writes, I took issue with a couple things discussed in the podcast with Pastor Christopher Eskett on last rites and anointing with oil. First and mainly was the statement that in Lutheranism, pastors are simply a mouthpiece. I found this really confusing because Pastor Eskett goes on to discuss how James shows us that the sick should call on the presbyters of the church so as to be prayed over and anointed with oil, as well as be given the opportunity to confess sins. If men who have been ordained are simply a mouthpiece, why would James have us call specifically for them to perform those actions on/for us during times where death seems near? Pastor Eskett goes on to talk about how comforting the sick and dying, as well as their loved ones, is important during times appropriate for the administration of last rites. But why should I find any comfort from calling for a man to perform last rites who is just a mouthpiece? Second, Pastor Eskett says that oil is historically associated with bathing and designations of persons, as well as healing and baptism in the New Testament. He goes on to say we shouldn't be superstitious, however. My question is, superstitious of what? That oil has healing properties? I don't mean to be disrespectful, but later in the segment, Pastor Eskett talks about an instance where he was visiting with a woman in the hospital, where in which she asked him, where are the rest of you? After he had by himself finished the commendation of the dying for/with another individual in another room, he answered that he was by himself, but the woman with whom he spoke claimed to have heard a choir. If we're invited to entertain even in the slightest that a mystical choir of angels and saints was accompanying Pastor Eskett as he performed last rites, which, by the way, I totally believe can and most likely does happen, why should we be careful about superstitions regarding the healing of properties of oil applied by presbyters? Thanks for the feedback, Stephen.
Well, I think maybe you're reading too much of a negative connotation into Pastor Escott's word mouthpiece. And there certainly is a derogatory way that that can be used. He was not in any way trying to run down the office of the ministry or the men who occupy it, or speak in a way that is derogatory of them or what they do. I think what Pastor Escott was trying to do was rule out the possibility that somehow the pastor in himself has some sort of quality or power or authority of his own by which he comforts people, by which his prayer made for them at the time of sickness is especially effective, or his commendation on their deathbed is somehow especially comforting. He was trying to rule out some sort of character or power or authority that the pastor has in himself. And so he used the word mouthpiece. The pastor is a conduit for God's word, and the power resides entirely in God's word, whether it be in prayer or the commendation of the dying or in the administration of things like chrismation, for anointing with oil at the time of sickness or of death. So none of these things have power in and of themselves, but they have power only by the word of God, that be that the pastor, the oil, or the prayer, or the commendation. All of them are merely the conduits by which God's word does the work. And I think that's what Pastor Escott was attempting to emphasize there when he talked about pastors being a mouthpiece. But it does highlight something here, and that is we need to be careful that we don't overstate the case. I don't think Pastor Escott was overstating the case, but perhaps just using a word that has a negative connotation that in some other context would make it look like he was just saying, well, the pastor isn't anything at all. Well, that's certainly not true. The pastor is a man called into Christ's office to speak Christ's word, and it is that word and that word alone that is powerful and effective, whether from the mouth of the pastor or anyone else who happens to be speaking it.
Here's what Jack in Ponca City, Oklahoma writes about your interview with Pastor Escott. I greatly appreciated this interview as someone coming to Lutheranism from a very varied background. This was enlightening and well stated and presented. Thanks. This is the sort of thing I appreciate from Pastor Peter Bender and Pastor Paul McCain as well.
We've been getting a lot of very complimentary comments and email from our listeners on Pastor Paul McCain's series that we do on the Lutheran Confessions and Pastor Bender's series that we do on Lutheran catechesis. And I think part of the reason is that we're able to go in depth. That's one of the great things about Issues, Etc. We cover the subjects with expert guests, but we try to, as often as we can, go as in-depth as we possibly can. I'm glad the listeners enjoy that. I continue to learn myself. Here's a question from the Issues, Etc. comment line about predestination.
Dear Issues, I'm reading through the Lutheran Confessions. I want to thank you so much for the ongoing, extremely helpful segments with Paul McCain and Peter Bender. They are immensely helping this new Lutheran. Prior to Lutheranism, I was a Presbyterian for 20-some-odd years. Last vestige of Reformed theology that needs to be expunged from my conscience concerns predestination. I fear falling into the trap of trying to reason out a clear understanding, as opposed to simply believing what the Holy Scriptures teach, that God predestines while also admonishing us to stay faithful and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. From conversations with others I know still in Presbyterian churches, this concern affects many. Can you correct this premise of mine? That, of course, God solely does all the saving and preserving of his elect, but being a God means does so by the Holy Spirit, keeping us in the Word, under good preaching, receiving the sacraments, staying faithful, and in other words, persevering. The Calvinists wrongly see being saved to be like a lightning strike, while biblically, salvation is a lifelong relationship and journey, culminating in a blessed death entering into glory for the elect. Or, which I suppose is my real dilemma, must I accept that a person, once possessing saving faith, can at least appear more powerful than God by choosing to throw that faith away? I can't thank you all at LPR enough. This is Mark in Fenton, Missouri.
Mark, thank you very much. It's a good question. So this is always a thorny issue, and it has been referred to as the cross of the theologian, the crux theologorum, because it is not easy to understand. It requires us to believe two things in Scripture that, because of the limits of our reason or our fallen nature, appear to be contradictory, but of course nothing in God's Word is contradictory to itself. That is all in perfect harmony. The contradiction exists only in our minds. So the apparent contradiction between the fact that God alone does all the saving from eternal election to the very end, all the way, it's all Him doing it, and the fact that, as you put it there at the end, man can somehow appear more powerful than God in falling away from the faith or rejecting the faith. There is no contradiction here. And I think what you mentioned there about how God preserves us in the faith is key to understanding. God does all the saving. He does all the preserving. He does all the keeping. And just like we say in the catechism, He keeps the whole Christian church in that faith unto eternal life. But He does not do that apart from means. And that's why it's good that you mentioned the word and the sacraments. He does not simply preserve us apart from means. He has provided means by which He preserves us in the Christian faith. To cut oneself off from those means, that is, from one's baptism to reject it, or from the preaching of the word or the administration of the Lord's Supper, an absolution, to cut oneself off from that is to cut oneself off from the means by which God preserves you in the Christian faith. I put it this way. The reason I go to church is because it's the only thing keeping me Christian. If I cut myself off from God's word and sacraments, I will cease to be a Christian because I have no power to preserve myself. Wow, what a completely relevant topic at a time when people are struggling to go back to church and wondering, do I have to go back to church? Yes, you do, because that is where God's means of preserving you in the Christian faith are administered. And if you cut yourself off from those, you will fall away from the faith. And do you see how the contradiction is resolved? Maybe not to our intellectual satisfaction, but if we know that God's preservation of us is done through means, and that these means are essential to His preservation of us, then we understand that God does all the work through those means, yet we have the ability in our sinful and fallenness to reject or cut ourselves off from those means. And then there is no promise of preservation apart from those means. When we come back, more email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. The boy who was lost, the beggar's greatest wish, the unforgiving servant. These are some of the 12 stories that you'll find in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbook's Treasury, Life of Jesus. Learn more about this resource for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 5 through 9 at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbook's Treasury, Life of Jesus, 1-800-325-3040.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We're commanded to serve our families and our communities to the best of our abilities. And, you know, we should take our vocational responsibilities in these areas very seriously. And I think that involves making sure that we create conditions in America that continue to allow religious freedom and allow our Lutheran faith to continue to thrive, and that we can continue to evangelize.
Mark Hemingway talking about his joint presentation with his wife Molly at this year's virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The fact of the matter is that on those particular issues of religious liberty, dire, and it's more important than ever.
You can watch journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway making the case for Christian political engagement at the 2020 virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity, it's Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That Issues Etc. comment line is 618-223-8382. Here's a comment about the words of institution and Christ's real presence in the Lord's Supper.
Hi, my name is Becky, and I'm from St. Louis. I've been listening to the podcast from Issues Etc., and there have been Pastor Bender's been talking about the Lord's Supper, and so has Pastor McCain. And a question has come to mind. I know at some of the Calvinist and other Reformed churches that do not believe in the real presence, sometimes they still say the words of institution. They use the words that are recorded in the Bible. And I've been told, I learned in catechism, that God's word does what it says. And so I'm just wondering, since it doesn't really depend upon the pastor who speaks the words, whether he has faith in those words or not, I wonder if in those other churches, if then the people are actually receiving the body and blood of Jesus while they're receiving the bread and the grape juice. So just curious about that. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, I think you're right to point out that it does not depend upon the faith of the pastor or the recipient as to whether Christ's body and blood are present. That is correct, but it does depend upon Christ's words. And that is not only simply the vocables, the syllables that sound in the air and come to our ears, but it is also what is being taught about those things as well. Now, you mentioned about the bread and the grape juice. Once you have tampered with the institution by replacing the element that Christ gave us to use, wine, and replacing it with grape juice, you have immediately introduced uncertainty into it, at the very least, if not simply said, you're no longer celebrating the sacrament. You're celebrating a counterfeit of the sacrament. It's no different if you said, we'll just use a Pop-Tart and grape juice. We do what Christ gave us to do according to his institution. So that's one issue that at the very least introduces uncertainty. But I think we can say in the case of churches that do this, they are not administering the Lord's Supper because they've changed it. Now, there's another way to change it. You can change it by changing the elements, and therefore you're no longer doing your supper. The other way to change it is by what you teach about Christ's words. And here we have very firm biblical grounds in which to make this case, and that is Paul's admonition to the Corinthians, where he actually at one point says to the Corinthians, when you gather, it is not the Lord's Supper you are eating. Now, did they fail to speak the words of institution? No, certainly they were speaking the words of institution. Did they fail to have bread and wine available as elements for the celebration of the Lord's Supper? No, they certainly were following that part of the institution. Why do I know this? Because Paul does not admonish them for failing to speak the words of institution. He does not admonish them for failing to use the elements that Christ gave for his supper. What he does admonish them for, and the reason he does conclude that they are no longer celebrating the Lord's Supper, therefore, this isn't a sacrament, he's saying to them in essence, is what they were teaching about the Lord's Supper. And he describes that teaching in terms of the effect it has on how they go to the Lord's Supper. Some of you are getting drunk. Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Some of you are going ahead of others. So he describes their failure to teach what these words say and what they mean. He describes it in terms of the effect it has in their administration of the Lord's Supper. They had just turned it into any other kind of meal. So he does conclude, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. Here's a piece of evidence number two. When he corrects them, He takes them right back to the words of institution themselves and urges them to believe what the words themselves say. So his correction is to reteach the words of institution to the Corinthians. What shall we conclude then with regard to churches that teach contrary to the words of institution and yet still speak those words in a pro forma way and may even still use the elements that Christ instituted for his supper? We must conclude along with St. Paul, it is not the Lord's Supper that they eat. I actually got into an altercation with a fellow seminarian back in my seminary days that nearly came to fisticuffs over this one. It wasn't, we actually weren't going to hit each other. We were playing pool and discussing whether or not Calvinists have the Lord's Supper. I can't even remember what side of the debate I took. I just remember it was so heated at one point, pool cues were raised. They weren't thrown, but they were raised. One of my best friends, by the way. That's just how guys deal with theology sometimes. And let's just say for the sake of argument, I think I might have taken the position that the Calvinists do have the Lord's Supper, in which I'm forced to say that they eat it to their condemnation, according to Paul's words, they're not recognizing the body of Christ. And I think that my friend there said, no, they don't have the Lord's Supper at all. And I think that was the point of contention between the two of us. Well, I've learned better, partly because I've read Corinthians again, partly because, good thing I held that opinion when I was a seminarian, that's what the time of seminary is for, to hold bad opinions and learn better. I also read the Lutheran confessions that clearly say there is no sacrament there when the institution is changed, either by changing the institution itself, elements or words, or by changing what is taught about those words and elements in that gathering. So there is no sacrament there. It's a long way of going about it, but that's kind of your seminary lesson for the day.
Here's a question by our 24/7 sacred music station. Jay writes, my husband says that Lutheran Public Radio wants the station off if you're not listening. I have it in my kitchen. I come and go from the room all day, so I am not listening to it all the time. Great question, Jay, and thanks for listening to Lutheran Public Radio.
I don't think we care if you have it on all the time. In fact, I think we actually prefer that you have it on all the time. If you come and go in the kitchen, I mean, we do this with what? Any other kind of listening. So very gently and very respectfully and very lovingly tell your husband, Todd said you can listen to it 24/7 if you want to. And when you leave and are not listening actively, you can still leave it on for the dog or the cat or the parrot or just the empty air. And when you come back, it's still waiting for you there. So you can listen to LPR anytime you want and as long as you want. When we come back, a little more listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And the comment line, 618-223-8382. I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our romp through Romans. Unfair? The potter and the clay. Submitting to God's righteousness. Message of salvation for all. And faith comes from hearing. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry lcms.org/deaconess.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. What better way to send your children, grandchildren, godchildren off to bed at night than with Bible Story? And the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is actually 12 Bible stories in the form of 12 arch books. They are the simple age 5 to 9 Bible story books, all bound into one volume called Arch Books Treasury, Life of Jesus. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Arch Books Treasury, Life of Jesus, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
Now, that last email requires a little bit of context, because both the husband and wife are correct, because there was a time when we told people to sign off when we weren't listening, because our bandwidth charges were going off the charts.
When we first began.
Right.
When we very first began, we had an inadequate bandwidth program with our streaming service, and we were just getting overages. Well, we within months probably solved that problem. So again, listen as long as you want, whenever you want. Let the dog listen. We like it, can't hurt him.
So, but your husband is
correct at one time.
Exactly.
So you could say, dear husband, yes, that was true at one time, but it's no longer true now.
Sarah writes, I was so delighted to hear the interview with Joy Pullman about revisionist history and to hear the newborn gurgles. What an encouragement to me and other parents to hear such good, sensible conversation happening while caring for small ones. I know it's a particular feature of this curious time that few of us have childcare and might not be her favorite way to manage an interview, but I found it just wonderful. Washing dishes and listening after I put my 3 small wigglers to bed, it made me feel once again like you all at Issues Etc. just get it. I'm so grateful for all you do. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Sarah.
I loved it. You know, I'm never going to stop a mother from taking care of her baby, even if she's doing an interview with us. And she did a fantastic job while caring for a brand new baby. Joy has 6 children. And so it's inevitable. It's just a matter of averages and laws and statistics that at some point one of those children is going to end up in her lap. We have actually done interviews with Joy, pre-recorded interviews, where she's been interrupted by the older kids, and we get to hear what the kids are saying to mom and how mom responds. And then, of course, Craig goes back and cleans all that up. We don't give the same consideration to dogs. I spent the last couple months in my closet as a vocal booth doing this show, and I have 2 dogs that are very, very loud. And there are several times when they barked and interrupted interviews, and we had to fix that up too. So dogs, no, babies, always.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. Just wanted to let you know how tremendously much we appreciated your broadcast from the second with Pastor Wolfmuller on the George Floyd protest riots. You guys were fantastic, right on it. Thank you, thank you for making the point that race, the word race, does not exist in and should not exist in the Christian mind. It is not biblical. We always taught that when we were homeschooling, and my daughter's now teaching it to her, my homeschool grandsons. We also want to express our appreciation for Pastor Wolfmuller using the Ten Commandments to illustrate to all of us how all of these protests can be quickly turned into idolatry. There's hatred in the heart, which is murder, stealing, coveting. It was so spot on. I just so wish that many of our church leaders would stop using the term racism and start focusing more on sin, which is what all of this boils down to. Thank you. Thank you again for having Pastor Wolfmuller on. We absolutely love him and listen to his other broadcasts, and actually saw his video of him going from St. Paul's to Jesus Step Church. It was really chilling, and just hope he stays safe. Thank you again, guys. Great job on that broadcast.
We are happy to have done that. And Pastor Wolfmuller, yes, he did hit it out of the park with that one. You know, you have to kind of finally say, what does the Bible say about this issue? And we can apply those commandments to ourselves and to others that have to do with all the conflict and the hatred. But finally, you have to ask the more fundamental question, does the Bible in any way support our notion of race, that mere colors of skin and chain of differences of body type somehow make us into different races of people? And you have to reject it, because the Bible does not teach that. We are made from one man. From one man, he created all the inhabitants of the earth. And that means we are all one family, regardless of how different our skin color or our backgrounds or our language or the shapes of our bodies. We are all one family. Really, if you look at sin that way, it's kind of like the destruction of the family that God created. And it shows you how deep and terrible the sin of racism can actually be. That what God created as one, we break into many. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the use and legalization of marijuana with Dr. Raymond Bertino, and we'll discuss Christian questions with their answers from Luther's Small Catechism with Pastor Peter Bender. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies, It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.